from heaven you came, helpless babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled. Not to be served, but to serve. And give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our life as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. That speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrender. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. So let us learn how to serve, and in our enthrone Him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to
friends, welcome to worship today on this, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. We really are delighted that you can join us. As you can see, it is a communion Sunday, and Diane will be taking us through the Holy Sacrament later in the service. So if you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of bread or crackers and some wine or juice, please do that now so that we can worship together seamlessly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. One of the things we do differently on Communion Sundays is acknowledge the lands of the first peoples upon which we are free and welcome to worship. So let's do that now. We are honoured to gather, serve, and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools, and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Jesus said, "Anyone who receives you receives me, and anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me." Friends, we gather together in the presence of God, who receives us with open arms, who loves us unconditionally, and who bids us do the same to one another. Let's worship God together. And at this time, we light the Christ candle, acknowledging and remembering that Christ came, he gave himself everything for us, and he is the light of the world. Praise be to God. Please pray this responsive prayer with me. Merciful God, whose name is love, abundant, overflowing, unceasing love, hold us close to you in this time, as you do at all times. Love us with compassion, Lord, we pray. When we are distracted or overwhelmed by fear and uncertainty, undermined by doubt and distress, we give thanks for your understanding love. Love us with patience, Lord, we pray. Despite all the mistakes and missteps we make, despite all the times we ignore your teaching and forget your grace, we give thanks for your forgiving love. Help us to love others as you love us, to accept others without judgment, to see variety as your gift of creation, to remember that love is our greatest calling. All of this we pray in the name of God, Creator of love, who loves this world. Jesus, the life of love, our inspiration and our friend, and the Holy Spirit, who comforts and sustains us with love each day. Amen. We come to the time of confession in the service. As we know, confession is not for God. He has already seen everything. He knows us more than we know ourselves, better than we know ourselves. Confession is for us. Confession is a time that we can let go of those things that keep us from God, so that we can come freely to Him. Please pray with me. God of tenderness, we are sad to say how much we have made Christian discipleship a way of comfort and ease, rather than one of challenge and exertion. We have abandoned any notion of sacrifice and put out of our minds any thought of crosses that might have to be borne or costs that might need to be paid. Forgive us, O God, and set before us again both the words and the way of Christ. Make us bold to accept willingly and embrace gladly whatever may come as we seek and strive to serve you. In the name of the suffering servant Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Friends, the prophet Ezekiel tells us that God promises, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you. A new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Dear friends, every time we lay our burdens down in confession, whether that is together as we have just done, or in moments we have alone with God, every time God is giving us more and more of that new heart and that new spirit that He promises us. By His grace and by His love, we are in the process of being made new. And by His grace and love, we are all being given life, life now and life forever. Amen. Friends, as it's a communion Sunday, we will confess our faith together. And this month we'll do that by saying the new creed. Will you join me in that now? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Today's reading is from the Living Bible, Matthew 10, 38-42. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will save it. Those who welcome you are welcoming me. And when they welcome me, they are welcoming God who sent me. If you welcome a prophet because he is a man of God, you will be given the same reward a prophet gets. And if you welcome good and godly men because of their godliness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if, as my representatives, you give even a cup of cold water to a little child, you will surely be rewarded. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, with today's reading, we come to the end of this chapter we've been in for the past number of weeks, a chapter that has been all about Jesus training his first disciples to go out as missionaries, proclaiming God's kingdom, praying and healing all those who are sick or ailing, and embodying God's grace and love. This chapter has been filled with instructions. The instructions that he gave them before they went. They were to take nothing in the way of provisions. Instead, they were to rely on the hospitality and the generosity of the people that they met as they went. And he warned them that the going wouldn't always be easy. He said some people would actually reject them. Others might actively oppose their efforts. He said they may even find themselves getting arrested. But he assured them not to take any of those potential hardships as signs that they were failing. It was all just part of being part of God's mission. So, adversity or not, he assured them that they really had no reason to fear, for they would be in God's loving care throughout it all, no matter what came. Well, now here in our reading today, Jesus' mission training concludes, and he ends it on a brighter note. He tells them that while some people may reject them and reject the message of Christ that they were bringing, not everyone would turn them away. Some people, he said, would actually welcome them. And he promises that those who did would receive their reward from God. Jesus explains to them that welcoming any of them, any of his disciples, is the same as welcoming him. And in the same way, it's the same as welcoming God. He makes it clear that they truly were being sent as representatives of him and of God's mission. Well, we know as we read this, that life in cultures in the ancient Near East wasn't nearly as individualistic as life is in our culture today. In the ancient world, a person's whole sense of identity was closely tied both to their larger family and to their community. That's why Jesus was often referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. And why Nathanael would skeptically wonder, could anything good come from Nazareth? One person from Nazareth is the same as the next. Because your community actually defined something of who you were. So the ties of community and the ties of family were strong and they were enduring. Which meant that welcoming and showing hospitality to someone was not just about welcoming them as an individual. It was effectively about welcoming everyone they represented, welcoming their family, and welcoming their larger community. So when Jesus explained that in welcoming his disciples, their hosts would actually be welcoming him and welcoming God as well, he was showing his disciples that as they went to do the work that he was sending them to do, they would be intimately connected to both he and to God the Father. So because of that, we can see that in part there was this social cultural context to what Jesus says in our reading. But honestly, that's only part of it. There is much more to this than just social custom. to explain, I want to share with you a little bit of my history. When I was learning about pastoral ministry, I was incredibly lucky to be able to, in essence, apprentice under Phil for the 9 years before I was ordained. He taught me so much. And honestly, it's impossible for me to imagine doing any of this without the care and the instruction that he shared so generously with me. Many, many treasured memories and lessons stand out for me from those years. And as I was working with this reading this week, there was one memory that really lingered clearly in my mind. It happened as Phil was in the process of teaching me about pastoral visiting. On this particular occasion, we were going to visit some people who were in the hospital and some people who were in care facilities. As we were walking down one of the hallways of NRGH to try to find the room that we were looking for, Phil explained to me that while I might feel as if it was just me entering the room that we were visiting, some of the people we were going to see might actually feel in some way as if God had come along to visit as well. He explained that in a strange way, some people have this sense that we kind of bring God in these occasions. And it was the memory of him saying that came back to me as I read and worked with Jesus' words this week. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Now, I actually remember exactly how I felt when Phil first explained this to me. I was completely overwhelmed by the thought that I might somehow be representing God to the people that I was visiting. There was no way I felt up to that task. And honestly, as I think about it even now, I still don't feel up to it. But I've also discovered that whether I feel up to it or not really isn't the point, because Phil was right. Sometimes we do have this sense that people feel that in some way God has come to them. Now, I need to be really clear. I'm not in any way suggesting that I think I'm special or that you should think that. Please don't. What I am saying is that as Jesus clearly explains here in what he said to his first disciples, all of us who follow him and all of the work the Holy Spirit leads us to do in his name are somehow intimately and inextricably connected, linked to him. And if you stop and think about it, that actually adds a whole new depth of meaning to the idea that the New Testament affirms over and over again, that we are the body of Christ. Now, if you have a sense of the overarching story of God with humans, you'll remember that this has actually been the way that God has planned for things to work all along. Remember Genesis 12, God called Abraham, and he promised to make Abraham and his descendants into a great nation. With Abraham, God began the process of gathering a people who would be living examples of what life is like when you live with God at the center of your life. People who were able to enjoy the fullness of life that comes when we are able to live in that way with God. God was calling Abraham and his descendants to be those people, God's people, drawing others to God simply through the example of their own lives. They were to represent God, and even more to represent life with God, in the same way that Jesus' disciples were being sent out by him to do that same thing. In the same way that we are sent out each week to do that through our lives, here in our time and place. This sending of God's people out to be a light to the world has always been a central part of the bigger plan of God. Well, those of you who joined us in worship a couple of weeks ago may remember me talking about how we are sent out to carry God's love to those we encounter in the course of our days. In many ways, this sermon today is really part two of that message. We are being sent out to carry God's love. And because we do that by embodying that love ourselves, in our actions, in our thoughts, and sometimes even in our words, then those who receive us do get this sense of some connection between us and God. On our very best days, the love that we share in all of its forms is accepted as an expression of God's love. People actually get to experience something of God's love through us. And my friends, when that happens, it is a really wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, I have to say that sadly, things don't always work the way we might hope, and sometimes, unfortunately, we have the ability to represent God rather poorly. We've all heard stories of people who proclaim to be Christians, but who are doing or saying things that are anything but loving. And as heartbreaking as it is, sometimes that poor example of love leaves people actually thinking that that's what God's really like. When in reality, we know that what they've experienced is nothing like the love of Jesus Christ. And you know, in those moments, we should echo Jesus' words from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So this idea that we are sent out to represent Jesus himself, it can feel pretty daunting to us. It seems big, and we are well aware of our fallibilities and our ability to misrepresent God. Thinking about going through your week, having people looking for you to be a loving example of what Jesus' love is like, it feels overwhelming. And I need to assure you, I completely understand that feeling. I also think Jesus knows that we feel that way. Because in his incredible Jesus-y, grace-filled, loving way, he also explains here that we don't need to feel in over our heads. He describes here and in other places throughout the Gospels that despite what we might be fearing, we don't have to do big, dramatic things to embody God's love. The Message translation of verse 42 puts it in a very helpful way, a way that I think kind of helps us maybe set us free from that weight of expectation we feel. Jesus says, it's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who's thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. The smallest acts can actually end up being the truest expressions of God's love and God's welcome and acceptance. My friends, as followers of Jesus, we do represent him in our world, but we don't ever have to feel like we need to try to be somebody we're not or do things that we feel completely ill-equipped to do. That's never been God's intention for us. we just need to do the everyday things that come along for each of us. And most importantly, we need to do them with love. Plain and simple. In the inspired words of Mother Teresa, not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. Amen.
By the Lord's sea and sky, I have heard my people cry.
One who dwells in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
Today's prayers, as always, with a quote. For me, finding these quotes connect me with the Holy Spirit, who guides me to find what I want to quote. That process alone is an emotional experience for me. The quote comes from E.M. Bounds, and it says, "Prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed, a rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty. Today's prayers are responsive. The bidding is God of all, and the response is hear our prayer. God of all, hear our prayer. God, we wait, we watch, we long for you. Renew our powers, refresh our spirits, restore our well-being, for you give new strength to the faint and power to the powerless. May your church be found working among those who lack resources or rights. May we seek to care for those who cannot care for themselves. We pray for the lowly and the humiliated. We pray for those who are touched by the volunteers of St. Stephen's. God, be to them a tower of strength. God of all, hear our prayer. We give thanks for all who have cared for us in times of weakness, for those who have uplifted our spirits and given us new hope. We pray for our friends and our families, especially any who are finding life difficult at the moment. We pray for any in our community that may feel neglected or rejected. God of all, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in weakness of body, mind, or spirit, all who have come to the end of their tether. We think of all who are losing their mobility or agility, and all who have lost their grip on reality, of those who no longer trust in anyone, and those who doubt in the love of God. We think of all who are caring for loved ones in illness. God of all, hear our prayer. We give thanks that Christ is our healer and our companion on the way. He will not allow us to be lost. We pray for loved ones departed who are renewed and refreshed in the love and light of God. God of all, hear our prayer. We pray for unity within and among the nations of our world. Bring a bond of peace with mutual respect and a common goal of good for humankind and all creation. We pray against the evil that seeks to divide us against one another, in the name of Jesus. May your Spirit inspire those in authority with wisdom and love, and may you grace them with the courage to decide rightly. God of all, hear our prayer. We pray for our parish as we seek toward a renewed vision for this church. Guide us by your Spirit, unite us in your love, and inspire us with your heart's desire for this community. We ask for wisdom. God of all, hear our prayer. Reveal yourself, gracious God, within this time of worship. Speak to us through the songs that we sing, the prayers we speak, the words we hear. Reveal yourself, gracious God, within your family here, in our speaking and listening, tears and laughter, love that's shared. Reveal yourself, gracious God, within these coming days, in the places we live, the lives we live, the people we meet. Amen.
Friends, welcome. Come, let's gather around Jesus' table. God is with us. We are not alone. Christ is present here. The Spirit is among us. Let us give thanks to God in memory and in hope. We praise you, loving God, for creating all things, for making us in your image, and for seeking us when we turn from you. We thank you for coming to us in Jesus Christ, who was faithful even to death on a cross, and who lives among us still. Therefore, with all that is, seen and unseen, and with all the faithful of every time and place, we join in this hymn of praise and thanksgiving. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Loving God, we rejoice in the gift of your grace, remembering Christ's life and death, proclaiming his resurrection, and waiting in hope for his coming again. Grant that in praise and thanksgiving we may so offer ourselves to you that our lives may proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. On the eve of his betrayal, Jesus renewed God's covenant promise. He took bread, offered the blessing, broke it, and gave it to those who sat at table with him. And then, at the close of the meal, he poured the cup of blessing, raised it in thanks to God, and passed it among them. We share this meal in remembrance of him, offering you our lives in praise and thanksgiving. O God, send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who share in this loaf and cup may be the body of Christ, light, life, and love in the world. In this hope and as your people, we praise you. Fill us with your Spirit to make us one in Christ and one in love for you and for all people, as in word and deed we seek your reign of peace and justice on earth. Glory be to you, eternal God, through Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, I invite you to join me in praying together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to consume the elements of communion in the places where you are.
And griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden?
a solace there in his arms. Oh, in his arms he'll take and shield me. Thou wilt find a solace there. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are my solace. What a friend we have in Jesus. Sing it out, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Now, having been fed at Jesus' table and joined together throughout space and throughout time in this Holy Communion, I invite you to join me in praying together our prayer after communion. Gracious God, may your gifts of love transform and enliven us, that we may live lives of thanksgiving. May your presence among us provoke such longing for your realm that we will never be satisfied until the whole earth knows your justice, your peace, and your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
St. Stephen's, your gifts and your tithes are gratefully received, and we pray now that they will be used to further God's kingdom here on earth. Please pray with me. Almighty God, we bring our offerings as symbols of our thanksgiving for your many blessings. If your kingdom is to come, the ways of the world must be changed. We pray that these gifts may be used to that end, and that the work of your church may hasten the day when your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, as we worship together on this Canada Day long weekend, we are aware that it is the movement from spring into really summer. And here at the church, we make that move as well by shifting to summer hours for our administrator and for our office. And so that means that the church office will be open from Monday through Thursday from 9 to 12. And that is the hours that Amanda or Adele or whoever is working as administrator in the office will be keeping throughout the summer. And so just keep that in your mind if you're coming to the church for anything, that if you want to find somebody, you need to come between 9 and noon, Monday through Thursday. Otherwise, phone and leave a message, and we're happy to get back to you. Friends, as you go from this time of worship, go hearing these words of sending from St. Paul. Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous and be strong. And let all that you do be done in love. Friends, may our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came with grace and truth, also fill your hearts with grace and truth as you follow him and serve him in the days ahead. And may the joy of the Lord, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be your unending strength. Amen.
When you go from this place, be true. May the blessing of life
find you. May the winds of the Spirit guide you across the ocean of all your days. May the seeds of your love, your life, adorn the way. When you go from this place, be true. May the blessing of life find you. May the winds of the Spirit guide you across the ocean of all your days. May the seeds of your love, your life, adorn the way. When you go from this place, be true. May the blessing of life. Spirit guide you across the ocean of all your days. May the seeds of your love.